Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
We're in a new series starting now, and if you're able to get out of your car, you're welcome to do that. If you want to stay in, that's fine. I don't actually have my physical Bible up here because it blows everywhere, so I have to read from my phone. We are in a new series entitled Radical Love. Radical Love, and we're looking at the book of 1 John over the next 5 weeks. 1 John and the term Radical Love. We're looking at chapter 1 today. Hear the word of the Lord, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, all right, let's jump into it. Friday, I jumped into my car. I drove across the state. I went to Stony Creek Metro Park, where I ran for 10 years. I found a safe place, Metro Park, there, Stony Creek. I found a safe person, Pete, who I've run with for many, many years, and we ran 6 miles together. What you need to know about me is that I like to run. I like to do things fast. I like to go through life really, really fast. And what I'm learning as I get older is that fast is not necessarily always good. And even though I like to run, there's this thing inside of us that we need to learn to walk. What I'm realizing that even in the new neighborhood in which we find ourselves living over in Bailey Grove is that when I run, I don't see as much. But when I walk my dog, I actually talk to people. I actually see the beauty around me. And the reason why I'm giving you that as an illustration is that today in 1 John chapter 1, we're going to talk about walking and that what can happen when we walk together. Now let me back up and talk about this thing called radical love. We know what love is in the world. All of us get it. We say we love everything. We love the Detroit Tigers. We love ice cream. We love hot dogs. We love our cars and we love our family. And yet, for most of the world, love is basically love that benefits me. When we talk about love, it's when it's convenient. When we talk about love, it's when it feels good. How many times have you seen marriages end when they say, I fell out of love? And yet, when we look at the biblical concept, and when we look at 1 John, we're going to see a foundation in this book that helps you and I understand what I'm entitling radical love. Radical love is selfless. Radical love is unconditional. Radical love allows me to love the unlovable. Radical love even helps me to do what Jesus said, to love my enemies. Radical love helps me to love in such a way that it may sacrifice things for me. When I am transformed with this radical love that 1 John talks about, then I have radical security. And security that I'm not worried about what everybody thinks and what everybody says about me. I'm also able to not move into the performance mentality. You know what that performance trap is. We live in that society. We try to impress our spouses. We try to impress our children. We try to get good grades in school. We try to get good reports at our workplace. Everything is based on our performance. But what we realize at this moment, when we encounter the radical love of God, that performance is done. How many of you today understand in the depth of your heart that you are loved, period? Not what you do or what you do not. You are loved. And you are loved in such a way that he demonstrated it to you. This is the radical love that we are in need of, like we have never needed it before in our country and in our world. We are at this moment where we understand that once we are able to love God with this radical love and receive the radical love from him, then we're going to be able to love all of those around us. Now let me back up, give you a little intro here. This book, 1 John, was written by the sage. His name is John. He walked with Jesus. It's been 50 years since Jesus had left and ascended to heaven. The church had grown. And in this time, as the church had grown, there was incredible persecution. There was a risk there as people were trying from the outside, trying to destroy the church before the church got started. And even inside the church, there was this new teaching that was coming in. And not only were they threatened on the outside, they were threatened on the inside as they were growing. And this teaching that they were facing is what John is addressing in this entire book. It's called Gnosticism. I just like saying the word Gnosticism. Would you repeat that with me? Just say Gnosticism. Oh, there wasn't very many of you. Say it again. Gnosticism. Now, I'm really about making things simple. Gnosticism is basically this. The physical is evil, the spirit is good. And that's what they were teaching. And once you go there, a lot of other things can start to flow. They believed that it didn't matter what we did in the physical. Since the physical is bad, I could go and do and live like hell and still be spiritually connected to God. That's kind of like a free-for-all. That's the spiritism of today in 2020. I don't want to follow Jesus. I want to be spiritual, but I don't want to be accountable. That's what the church was facing, and this is what John was addressing early on, and they continued on with this. Now, he's dealing with all of this with this baseline called mysticism. Mysticism has been around since the creation of man. Mysticism is basically this philosophy that says, I had this spiritual encounter. And even though it may have contradiction, and even though it may not make sense, it makes sense to me, and you have no right to question it. Here's what I would say to you, that we've seen mysticism in all religions of the world, whether it was Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam or even in Christianity, people who will take a little bit of the core of the teaching of a particular religion, and then they will create all their spirit stuff that they want to have the spiritual experience. Here's my response as it relates to those of us who follow Scripture. If you have any experience that is spiritual, it must align with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? And if it doesn't align with the Word of God, then it is not of Him. And so today, as we look at this, we clearly see that John, in the first four verses that I read to you, is dealing with this thing called mysticism. The first thing that you see that he says straight up, who is in the beginning? Who is in the beginning? Genesis 1. And in the beginning was God. And in that beginning, what happened? That Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus was not created. Jesus has always been. He is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says it straight up in 1 John 1. All of you mystics, all of you Gnostics, hear me now. Jesus was from the beginning. The second thing he says is that he was manifested in history. In other words, he's not a myth. He's a historical reality. Last evening, I watched Aquaman with my son, and we looked at the whole city of Atlantic and all the mythology behind all of that. He's saying to all of the people in that day, this is not a myth. This is actually a historical character. He was from the very beginning, verse 1. He was actually lived at a time and a place. And we, verse 2, we declare it to you not secondhand. We have seen him up close. We have eaten with him. We have watched him minister. We watched him die. We watched him raise from the dead. We have seen it with our eyes. And number 4, we see in verse 3, we have fellowship together. In other words, we stand together in this. We believe this till our last breath. Church, Isn't it time that we rise up and stand together with the basics of the truth of Jesus Christ and not back down regardless of what the new fad or the new ideology or the new philosophy that will come and go? We stand with the reality that Jesus was and is to come. Can I get an amen, church? And then he concludes in verse 4 saying to you all, and there is joy in the middle of all of this. You might be under persecution. You might be under threat with certain heretical teaching. But when we stand together, we can have joy in the middle of the storm. That's how he declares it. So let me back up. We live in a postmodern world where there is no truth, and anybody can do as they want in their own eyes, right? So let's go back to my illustration about walking. These rest of these verses tell us three things that I want to tell you today. If we're going to have radical love from God and have fellowship with God, the first point I would say to you from verses 5 to 7 is this. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. Would you repeat after me? Say, Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 5 clearly says, God is light. He is light. Let me illustrate it this way. His light is his glory. His light is his splendor. His light is his purity. His light is his truthfulness. And when we get to heaven, y'all, we don't need and we will not need artificial light. The light bulb business will go out of business. We will not need, because God is light. And what he's saying to you and I today, that we must walk in the light. What I realize today in 2020, June 7th, at this moment, it feels as though the church and it feels as though society, we're all in a big room and the lights are turned off. And we're all stumbling around trying to figure out how to get around in the room. And we're bumping into one another and we're ticking each other off and we're stubbing our toes. It's time that the church rises up, walks over to the wall, flips the switch, and turns on the light. Anybody with me out there? You out there? See, because I can't tell up on the roof whether you're just chilling or whether you're following, all right? That's why I got to get down on that bed truck, because I have no clue. It feels like I'm just preaching to a bunch of cars out there. Nonetheless, walk in the light. We are in this moment. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that we must live as children of the light. As we walk in it, we need to be children of the light. And once we become children of the light, our hearts are pure and humble. And he's knocking at the door of every single one of our hearts today. And he's saying, I want to have fellowship with you. I truly want a relationship with you. Do you feel like God is a long ways away today? Do you feel like he's distant and aloof from you? He's knocking today at your heart, wherever you're at. And he will keep on knocking regardless of your attitude. Regardless if you want him or not, he will pursue you. Can I get an amen? So how do we walk in the light? We walk in the light by acknowledging God's goodness. And I will submit to his will above my own will, his will above mine. I will live a life of integrity consistent with him. And I will denounce hypocrisy. Anybody else with me? See, hypocrisy is where people are saying, I walk in the light. But what they say and what they do are actually two different things. Their actions don't back their statement. You see, my question to us today is this. Does your public life match your private life? The way you act at home, if you have a family, the way you interact with your family, that's the real you. Does your public life actually match your private life? I will say to you with three grown children that there's been one passion for me as I walk in the light, and that has been this. They get to see all of the flaws of Mick Veach. That's right. It's all out there to be seen. But at the end of the day, my one desire for my kids, that as I walked in the light, that the God in which I serve would be so attracted to them that when they grew up, that they would say, I want that same Jesus. Is that not the cry of any parent or grandparent here today? Amen? We need to stay away from the darkness and walk in the light, because darkness equates to sin. And I am here to tell you today, for believers, for those of us who are in sin, we break the fellowship with God and things become numb. And I don't know about you, but every time I've had brothers and sisters that are in the beginning stages of messing up, they don't want to be around the light and they don't want to be around people who are the light, and they avoid it at all costs. It is time that we rise up, church, and not run from our situations, but engage one another all the more. What sin is screaming at you today? James tells us, when you are tempted, you cannot say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted, nor does God tempt anyone. But each one is tempted one by his own evil desires. He's dragged away and enticed. And after that desire is full grown, it will wrap you up and destroy you. I'm here to tell you today, we must avoid the darkness. I remember after I came to know Christ, all of my when I was a teenager, and none of my friends were followers of Jesus. And I remember going to the lunch table and began to share Jesus with them with my little Gideon Bible. That's all I had. And I went there and I told them all that Jesus loved them right in the middle of all the chaos at a lunch table. And they looked at me as though I was from Mars. And after I shared with them that Jesus loves them, one by one, they stopped hanging out with me. Because what does light and darkness have in common? I was there for them, but they did not want to see what my life was. I'm here to tell you today that we need to, the key point is we must walk in the light of God, and we will experience the fellowship and the radical love of God. Can I get an amen? And it's not until we walk in the light of God that point number two becomes a reality. Because point number two is we also walk with one another. We first walk in the light. Secondly, verse 7, we walk with one another. Would you repeat after me? Say, let's begin the walk together. Together. What we are experiencing in America right here and right now that will happen today after we dismiss. All across America, in the suburbs and in the cities, Americans are walking together in protest for a system that has stood against many of our brown and black skinned brothers and sisters. We are walking together in this moment. And what I would say to you is that if we don't walk in the light, we will never be able to walk together. We will never have fellowship together, because brokenness can only be fixed as we continue to walk in the light. And as we begin to have his characters in our light, in our own lives, I would say, I'll illustrate it this way. One of my daughters called me up the other day. She said, Dad, and she explained the situation in which she was very disappointed because she was very impatient. And after she explained her impatience in that situation, she laughed, she paused, and she said, Dad, I'm just like you. I said, thank you, Michaela. Here's what I know about walking together when people are close. Catch this, you ready? If the characters inside of us and all the qualities inside of us are not transformed, they will be transmitted. If all the characters inside us are not transformed, they will be transmitted. What do you mean, Pastor? If I have a problem with anger and it's not transformed by the power of God, by walking in the light, when I walk with one another or with others, I will transmit my anger onto them. I will transform my greed, my gossip, my pride, and yes, my racism, even if I don't believe I have it. If it's not transformed, it will be transmitted. Can I get an amen? We have broken relationships and we're not walking together because we have stopped walking together throughout. We see marriages end left and right because of it. We see churches splitting today because they're not walking in the light. As a result, they can't walk together. And they allow the smallest things to get them turned sideways so that they cannot engage in the mission of Jesus. We see even in the Old Testament, Absalom, who went after his own father for the greed of power. And when I lived in another country called Azerbaijan, they've been at war to this day with a country called Armenia over a piece of land. And what they have done in that season of nearly 27 years is that the Azerbaijanis teach the little Azerbaijani children that the Armenians are little devils. And the Armenians teach their little children that the Azerbaijanis are little devils. And we have broken relationships today all over the world because we've stopped walking in the light and we've stopped walking with one another. What does walking together look like? It's going to be tough. It's going to be messy, and you won't get it right all the time. You don't have to have a family to know that. It will always be messy, but we start walking together in authentic relationship. The biblical term is koinonia, that we have something in common. We will stop judging one another. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:1, don't judge or you will be judged. John 8, Jesus clearly said in that encounter with the adulteress, drop the stones. Some of you don't think you got stones. Check your pockets. There they are. Pull the stones out. Stop being the judge and begin to walk together. What are you saying, Pastor? We got to approve of everything that everybody does? Absolutely not. You don't condone something. You still can accept them as people. I haven't agreed with everything that my kids have done, but I have loved them and accepted them and supported them and encouraged them. What people are needing today as we begin to walk together, as verse 7 tells us, people are saying, and I'm going to keep saying it until we get it. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Do you value me? Let me say that again. Do you see me? Do you hear me? And do you value me? Don't give lip service to it. Is it in the depth of your heart? Are you willing to go there with me? Now, let me really step on some toes, but let me also thank you because of where we are as a KCC. Because I will say to you straight up, it is a whole lot easier, and that's why the church has done it overall, to be in a homogeneous church. It's easier. It's easier to be with your own culture and people who look like you and talk like you. But we don't believe that's necessarily biblical. Can I get an amen? We believe that the gospel is powerful enough right here, right now. We don't have to wait for heaven. That the gospel of Jesus makes it so that we can come together with all tribes, all languages, and all peoples. And anybody else believe this today? Yes? So as we walk together, here we are in this season, in this moment. And people will debate, especially the white folk. What does Black Lives Matter mean? And is it this and is it that and is all the rest? Let me give you some of my thoughts. The first thing is, it's been said all throughout the week. If black lives don't matter, then no lives matter. All lives will matter the moment that black lives matter. Are you with me? And the second thing that I would say to you is that that's kind of going back to like the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. No, Jesus. Blessed are everybody. Blessed are those who are persecuted. No, Jesus. Blessed are everybody. Obviously, everybody is blessed. But we're talking about the persecuted. We're talking about those who are poor. We're talking about our brown and black-skinned brothers and sisters who are going through it in this moment. So when you bring up and when I bring up other issues that are just as important, like abortion, sex trafficking, and all the rest, those things have to be addressed and will be addressed. I stood in front of many abortion clinics back in the 80s. I'm for change. But we're in this moment right now as a church, and the world is watching us saying, what are we going to do? And I'm here to tell you today, for those that are Anglo, your black brother and your brown brothers and sisters are watching you. You don't have to have all the answers, but are you understanding their hurt and their pain today, the moment in which they are in? You see, protests have always been a part of who we are. The fact that we are Protestant today is because a guy named Luther said to the Catholic Church with the 95th thesis. The Wesleyan Church, which this church is engaged with, was a part of standing against, about abolishing slavery. We were about underground railroads. It's always been who we are. And as we understand this, we need to understand that protests have a legitimacy. They always have. It's a both and. I hear many people say, well, it's not about the protests. It just needs to be the heart of man. And I'm like, yes, it's both. Yes, we have to change the heart of man. But we also need to stand up. I'll take you to Micah 6:8 that says, stand up for justice. Stand up for those who are hopeless. And here's the thing that as a white dude who's been all over the world, we say from Scripture that we walk with one another. We say in Scripture that we are one body, according to Corinthians. But I wonder this morning, not just necessarily to us, but the church as a whole, do we really believe we're one body? Because if we really were one body and believed it, if my arm is hurting, we all hurt. If my arm is struggling, we all struggle. That's the beauty about being a part of the body of Christ. And let me say one last thing. There will be a temptation to say, okay, we've been through the protests and we're in the 12th day. Okay, now let's get on with life. Now let me back up and say, have you ever understood a thing called grief? Have you ever understood a thing called lament? If you've ever lost something, you can't just go on with life as normal in a couple of days. We've got to sit together, cry together, listen together, be gracious together. This is what is called walking with one another, verse 7. And it won't always be easy. But I'm here to tell you today, I will stand on this to the last breath I have, not for any other reason, but because it is a biblical truth, and it's what Jesus would do. Can somebody say amen? It's what Jesus would do. And as we do life together, let me just say, I remember when I lived overseas in Azerbaijan. And what I did in that 10 years is I walked with the people. I learned to eat kebabs. They have the best kebabs of all time. And I learned to dance their dance. And they can dance like they do this thing with their hand. You don't think I have rhythm. I can do Azerbaijani dance, I'll have you know. And I would weep with them in their funerals and how they did funerals. I celebrated with them in their weddings. And after 10 years, I understood a little bit more about what it meant to be Azerbaijani. Walking together is learning from one another. Do we really want to hear from one another? Thank you, KCC. It's not going to be easy. It's easy to go the easy route. It's easy to get offended one time and say, I'm out of here. We need to be pioneers. We need to have tough skin. We need to follow Jesus. And we need to walk together. Anybody with me today? So as we walk in the light, we walk with one another, and I conclude with a third walk, we walk in forgiveness, verses 8 to 10. We walk in forgiveness. Would you repeat after me? Say, forgive me, Lord. Say it one more time. Forgive me, Lord. I talked to my best friend. The worst thing about preaching up here is the wind, and I love to move, and I have had for 3 weeks have to stand behind this podium. I can't wait to move again. Some of you are like, I'm so glad you're standing still, especially the cameraman. Sorry, guys. Now, I have no idea what I was going to say. Come back, Mick. Okay. I remember speaking to my best friend this week, and he talked to me about his mother. When they were little, he was a preacher's kid, and he and his two siblings, they fought like crazy. And the mother only wanted the kids to love one another. And after they fought like crazy, and they were hurting each other emotionally and saying bad things to one another, He found his mother in her bedroom weeping uncontrollably. For you see, his mother was an orphan, and she never grew up with siblings. And she had this dream that when she had her own kids, that they would truly love one another, and they would do life together, and they would forgive one another when they needed. And she was simply saying to my friend, my best friend, she said this, "You guys are breaking my heart." I'm here to tell you this morning that if we don't walk in the light, walk with one another, and walk with forgiveness, we're breaking the heart of the Father. We are. We're breaking the heart of the Father. If we truly are one family, He created us to learn. My view of God is much greater because I've been around and do life with people that don't look like me. My concept of God is greater because of that. We are a greater people because of what we learn from one another. And John tells us clearly here in this passage that we have this thing called sin. And if we confess it, which is so hard for us to do, let's be honest. Some of us today in our sin, we really must be honest, and we're okay to confess our sin, but we don't really want to get rid of our sin because we really like our sin. And so we use theology to our own benefit. We have it down to a T to know that He's going to forgive me. But that is the most miserable life you're supposed to be living. You're supposed to be living a life that is in relationship and fellowship and the forgiveness of God. He says that if we confess, something happens. So forgiveness starts right here. If I walk in forgiveness, it happens with me. And if you've experienced it out there in the parking lot, you know what I'm talking about. When I first experienced the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, it changed everything about me. The thought that from every thought and every action and everything that I'd ever done was completely wiped out. That was transforming me. Anybody else with me? And until this happens, my friends, follow me. Until this happens, the second forgiveness is not possible. And that is this, to forgive myself. Many of you today, you're all intellectually good about God forgiving you, but you haven't experienced it to the fullness of what the Bible is saying. And as a result, you still haven't forgiven yourself for whatever it is you did or said. You need to stand against it and denounce it and experience the fullness of walking in God's forgiveness through Christ. That then enables you to forgive you. This is not just a verse. This is a reality. You are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has begun. Can anybody jump up and down with me this morning? Come on. The new has begun. Has begun. And here's my third point for this. If I walk in forgiveness and I get this, and then this starts to happen inside me, I can't hold it in. Guess what happens? Then I can forgive all you all because you all are crazy. Come on. You can't go to the store and get it. You can't fake it. We are living in a moment in history where this emotion called anger is about to destroy us. It is everywhere. I don't care your skin color. I don't care your economic background. I don't care whether you live in the burbs or in the hood. I don't care whether you live in a farm. Anger is everywhere. And the antidote to it is simple. It's called walking in the forgiveness of God through Christ Jesus. It's the only thing that will cure this thing called anger that is about to destroy us as a church and as a society. He says in verse 8, we say we are not without sin. We deceive ourselves. And you may say, I never say I'm not without sin, but oh, do you? Here's how we deal with our sin. We find somebody else that isn't as screwed up as us. And then we feel good about ourselves. And then when we deal with this thing called sin, we run into two possibilities. Number one, we say, I'm without sin. Or number two, I'm such a loser that there's no hope for me. Neither one of those are right. You do not live in condemnation. Would you repeat after me? Say, no condemnation. Here's how I know this point is so important. It's pretty simple, friends. The reason why I know we're struggling with this, the church is full of people not walking in forgiveness. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? And it's simple. It's how we're not forgiving one another. The way you know you're walking in forgiveness between you and God is your capacity and ability to forgive others. And the church is full of fights and bickering. So God have mercy on us. And forgiveness is not just saying, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is also called repentance. There's a religious term for you. Turn. Turn to God. Allow him to be more attractive than the sin that's trying to destroy you today. Forgiveness is a continual walk. It's a day-to-day walk. It will destroy hate and revenge. This is what radical love is all about. The most powerful example we can give the world today is to be able to forgive when you were wrongly done. It will not be natural. I am an aggressive personality, always have been. When I played sports, I called myself a wannabe. I thought I could do it all, but my body said otherwise. I simply couldn't. I'm a very aggressive personality. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be transformed. And if Mick Veach can be transformed, I assure you today, you can be transformed. And you can experience the forgiveness that only he has. We are in desperate need for Christ followers today that who will walk in the light, not run, walk with one another, hear each other, listen to each other. I had a staff member email me this week about we may need to try to provide ways so people can speak and be heard. I've been trying to figure that out because we are in a desperate need for people to be heard. That's what we walk together, and then we walk together in forgiveness. God brought me here to KCC in Kentwood from Detroit for such a time as this, to serve with you. I'm a humble servant who destroys the English language, who God called to be a public speaker. Had the audacity to have me learn another language and to go to another culture. And all of that accumulative to this moment so that I can tell you the truth. And now you as followers of Christ will have a decision as to what you're going to do with it. I today stand before you as I conclude and will say to you, I decide to walk in the light. And I say to every single one of you, I will decide to walk with you. So, to my black and brown brothers and sisters, I am with you. I don't have all the answers, but I am with you. And one day, I'm going to need you to be with me. Anybody with me? And the God who gives compassion to me, I can give compassion to you. Back and forth it goes. It's called being the body. And we will walk in this thing called forgiveness. Here's how I want to close. We got something really powerful for you. It is a visual. I can talk until the cow jumps over the moon. I don't even think that's a statement, but nonetheless, it came out of my mouth, so there it is. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to stand with me, and if you're able to and feel comfortable, you can get out of your cars as I close this in prayer. I'll give you a moment. Do you all know this afternoon that God loves you? He does. Here's what I want you to do. Would you raise your hands to heaven with me? Lord Jesus, raise your hands to heaven if you can pray this prayer and mean it, and that's where your heart is. Don't lift your hands if you're not there, but if you're there, raise your hands with me. Lord Jesus, I'm praying right now that you would help me. I'm talking about me, your son, Mick Veach, and then they can put their names in. I'm praying for me that I could truly walk in the light. I want nothing to do with darkness. I want to be in your light. So transform me. I don't want to transmit crap. I want to transmit your glory and your love. Help me, oh Lord, to walk with my brothers and my sisters. Help me understand that relationship is everything. And help me to walk in forgiveness because I've been forgiven. Even when somebody doesn't want forgiveness, it frees me up. I pray you would bless this church. We know not what this week brings, but we know who does. And we hold on to that. Whatever this week brings, what we can do together is much greater than we can do by ourselves. And we need one another. So we stand with you and together. In Jesus' name, amen.